At a production studio in Hollywood, Tanya Saracho is neck deep in finishing season 2 of her TV show Vita for the network Starz. That means spending long days inside this anonymous-looking office building. The suite she has set up for her editors is also low-key. They use a code name on the sign by the door.
I just have to ask, when we walked in here, these production rooms, it's the Flan post.
Oh, yes. Right? Yes, because it's like our hidden name.
It's like the secret name for Vita is Flan.
Yes, because last year when we had Vita on, a lot of actors dropped off headshots and would come in. We would be working. They would be like, because there's also casting.
Flan as in the creamy dessert. It shows up a lot in season 1 of Vita.
This is corn flan. This one's chocolate. And this one's got some weird nuts in it.
It's not surprising that Saracho gets a lot of unsolicited visits. Her show is unusual for Hollywood. It's explicitly Latino and explicitly queer, about two estranged sisters who come home to the Boyle Heights neighborhood in L.A. for their mother's funeral to discover that she was secretly married to a woman.
How long? Full-on married? Just 2 years.
Now that she's achieved some success in Hollywood, she wants to bring others from her community up with her. The directors of all 10 episodes in season 2 are Latina.
I haven't been at it that long, but it feels like the right thing to do to just sort of like keep the door open and be like, come through, however many can come in, you know?
For season 2, that also means musicians. She takes us between editing booths, calling up scenes that feature real-life performers she has invited to play themselves in the show.
In this episode, we have Sancha. El Sancha, who is this amazing genderqueer performer, Latinx performer, is amazing.
So people who know East LA are going to recognize
East LA and Latinx culture.
We should just say Latinx, Latina, Latino, either
Latinx,
gender.
Yeah, is a gender-inclusive term. Mm-hmm. So it's like we used to say Latino, but it's a male.
We sat down in Tanya Saracho's office. There's a book called Unladylike on the coffee table and a Frida Kahlo Barbie on the shelf across the room. She told me she was excited to tell stories that aren't often seen on TV.
It shows that we exist, and that's like visibility, which as Latinx in this country, we've been very, you know, we've been invisible. They're trying to erase us right now, you know? And so just by living and being, it's like a political act, you know?
When we talk about invisibility, there's one scene in season 1 that I would like to ask you about, which features a maid. And this is a predominantly white space that one of the main characters has entered into. And we see this woman cleaning up vomit.
Aurora! Charlie threw up again! I feel so bad. She has to keep cleaning it up.
Don't. That's what she's here for.
And then we see her on the bus with this character riding home to the same neighborhood. That was such a powerful scene to me. Tell me about how that fit into your conception of this show.
That was, when I was writing the pilot, that was a scene that I sketched back then. I was like, God, I want to see this, that whole storyline. Especially because I'm new to LA and we're the working class, right? We are the nannies and we're judges and doctors too, but for a section of LA, we are cleaning up after people. And I really wanted to not just tell that story, but also compare Lynn, who is such a like a social climber, for her to measure herself against that and be like, oh, they see us and they will eventually see us as the same thing. The way she was being exoticized, you know, they were talking about her Frida the eyebrows and stuff like that. And it was like, eventually I will clean up your vomit too.
Did you know going into the show how much Spanglish you wanted to use?
Well, I've written like 16 plays and most of them are Spanglish. So sometimes it's Espangles, which is a Spanish base with English sprinkled on mm-hmm. top. And then backwards, you know, Spanglish, English base, Spanish sprinkled on top.
I know it was important to you and Vita not to have subtitles.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you don't go to Boyle Heights and get subtitles. Realism is really important. You know, that it'd be naturalistic and it needs to sound like we sound.
You know. You say that my days are numbered. So I touch every leaf, every petal, and I grab it, puños de tierra.
And it sounds like we sound without any translation. You won't miss stuff, though. Like, you really won't.
Right, but was there ever a moment that an executive said, good effort, but we need you to do subtitles now?
Never.
No one said
Never.
That to you. That's an incredible respect for your artistic vision.
This is what I'm telling
and
you.
And not what we hear about in Hollywood very often.
The first year was kind of like, I couldn't even, you know, fantasize about it better. The second year, now I have to, like, worry about, like, you know, people do have to watch this. So you have to think about ratings and stuff like that.
So are you now making artistic editorial choices to appeal to the audience that you're trying to attract?
No, but now I'm more anxious about it.
Okay, okay.
It's just now I'm like, I need CBD. Because I'm just like... But I was like protected from that the first season, you know? Like it was just like, make art, which they're still doing that. But now we have reviews out there and we have comments and people are like, oh my gosh, we had such a polemic about how to eat a taco, how one of our characters eats a taco.
And wait a minute, describe this to me. What was it?
Well, we made a choice with one of the characters. She was like, to say that she'd been away from the neighborhood, whatever, you know? Oh my goodness. It became the most like... She can't even eat a taco. Who would eat a taco? Who would put Valentina on a taco? So Valentina is a hot sauce that you usually put on, like, I put it on chips, I put it on fruit. But, like, you would usually put salsa on a taco. But this character, that day, was like, the choice will be, and she had all her reasoning.
But isn't it kind of wonderful that people are invested enough in this world that they really care how your character is eating?
Yes, but now we addressed it this season.
This season.
She explains why she puts Valentina on tacos.
To take a step back from Vita for a moment, you have an overall production deal now with Starz.
I do.
And I know there's another show you want to make called Brujas, which is set in Chicago, where you spent a lot of your adult life. And I sort of think about, you know, what Shonda Rhimes has done for roles for African-American women, or what Ryan Murphy has done with queer actors or older women who didn't have great roles, where they've created almost these empires of worlds that offer stories and roles within a particular frame. Do you see yourself or hope to someday do something similar within the worlds that you're creating?
Access and opportunity sounds so exciting, especially because we don't have anyone, a Latinx, that has sort of that access, you know, that, you know, Lena Waithe and Ava DuVernay, they have these, like, they're starting their empires, you know, and but they also give opportunities to their clan, but not just in shows. They have incubators, they have, like, script competition, like they have, that is like a dream. But I'm now realizing, wait, if we're gonna keep employing people, we need to keep having access. So I need to keep having shows. But like, if you put your head down and do the work, hopefully it'll start to happen.
Well, Tanya Saracho, congratulations and thank you so much
thank
for talking
you.
With us.
Thank you for coming to our little office.
Tanya Saracho is the creator and showrunner of the series Vita on Starz. You can stream season 1 now, and season 2 premieres next spring.